Hello, good evening, and welcome to Seascapes. On tonight's programme, we'll be talking sea shanties, and we'll have the latest from Auckland and the America's Cup. The musical accomplishments of fisherman and singer Lawrence Courtney would not have been well known outside of his native Dingle, except for the recent popularity in sea shanties. Last month, when the Ryan Tuberty Show did a segment on sea shanties, hordes of texters contacted the programme about Lawrence, all saying he's the man for the shanties. Noel Sweeney caught up with Lawrence and his brother Gene for a sea shanty session in their kitchen in Dingle. They talked about shanties, life at sea, and collaborating with some of the best musicians in the business.
Check out this Lawrence Courtney CD, fisherman, singer and musician. He waited until his 70th birthday to launch his first CD. It was well worth the wait. So we have Lawrence Courtney is our man for sea shanties in Ireland. That's what we're getting. A deluge. Let's use the word again of a text by Mr. Courtney. Sounds good to me. I'm done with
it. Away, away, we're bound for better weather, Tommy. Way, haul away, we'll haul away, Joe. And then I met an Irish girl, she damn near drove me crazy, tell me. Way, haul away, we'll haul away, Joe.
The shanties were working songs, really. Working songs and the old sailing ships, like.
Lawrence Courtney is a fisherman and musician from County Kerry. He and his brother Gene are long-term veterans of the sea shanty.
And they had different songs for different jobs aboard the boat. Like, you know, it was all manual hard work, pulling, hauling ropes, and Hallway Joe was there might be 10 men hauling the rope, you know, and one man would have a turn on the cleats, eh? We're bound for better weather. And Tommy, and you pull the rope towards the man that was taking the turn to beat the tide.
Way, haul away, we'll haul away.
There's this particular way of singing shanties, really. Like, you know, usually maybe four-part harmony. Phil is singing, and the song is keeps time to the work, whatever is going on, you know. If you're hauling in a hurry, like the shanty is quicker, or the words are quicker, you know. And if it is a leisurely kind of sail along, you know, it is nice and slow. And the ship is sailing away, and there's no big panic, like.
A shanty is not correctly sung. It's a very rough. It's a rough incantation. A team of ten fellas on a rope, hauling up one of the big masts. Or the big jibs or whatever. And it would take the 10 of them to get it up there. Mm-hmm. And they would be giving it welly, you know. So they'd be all singing the song. They'd all know the songs. And they had no other entertainment. I mean, they're on a bloody sailing ship, but nothing.
Dingle would be known as, very well known as a town, I suppose, synonymous, like, with music and for the maritime. So, like, was it just natural for you to be fishing and play music as well at the same time?
One came in the way of another a lot of the time anyway. You know? We tried to get up in the morning, I'd been out all night, maybe playing and singing. You know, try to go fishing in the morning again. But I suppose it was all tied together, really, like, you know, that and in them days, you know, gone by maybe 30 years ago, I suppose, you know, this fishing job was a lot easier than, like, it was. You went out at maybe 5 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock sometimes, and you'd be back in by maybe 9 o'clock again that night, you know.
I would leave Waterford when I finished work at 4:30, and we'd be singing, I suppose, in Gainey's mostly at 8 or 9 o'clock that night. And we'd have a session on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And I'd get on the bike Sunday night at 12:30. 2 hours and 50 minutes to Waterford. Up for work in the morning at 6:30. So that was nearly all through the summer. And then I'd come home for 2 weeks, I suppose, in August. And I swear to God, we'd be singing every night.
Lawrence played to a full house at the National Concert Hall when he collaborated with National Treasure Sean Davey.
when the sea shanties came along with Sean, then Sean Davey, he had rewritten the shanties, you know, for the Dunleary Right Down Choir. He roped me into it anyway, and we sang the verses, Sean and myself and Rita, and Liam O'Flynn and Sean Kane out of the Chieftains. And this is nice that it's nice to see groups that are keeping them alive, you know, keep the songs alive, and maybe, you know, people will write other ones. When the sailors were working on board ship, you know, and this would be, they'd be reminiscing, I suppose, of what they left behind, you know, when they were out sailing. They might be sailing for maybe 6 months or maybe 12 months. If they were, they'd have to scrub the decks every day, and as well as hoisting sails and all that. And this was a song that'd if we were having to scrub the deck and, you know, one of these menial old jobs, maybe. This is Sally Brown.
Sally Brown is a nice young lady. Way, hey, roll and go. And we rolled all night and we rolled till day. Gonna spend my money along with Sally Brown. I shipped on board a Liverpool liner. Way, hey, roll and go. And we rolled all night, and we rolled till day. Gonna spend my money along with Sally Brown. She wanted the moor, mother didn't like a tarry sailor. Way, hey, roll and go. And we rolled all night, and we rolled till day. Gonna spend my money along with Sally Brown. Santiano, Santiano came the day, all on the plains of Mexico. Them yellow girls I do adore. Away, Santiano, because I won't tell them all I know, all on the plains of Mexico. Mexico, oh Mexico, oh hey, Santiano. Mexico is a place I know, all on the plains of Mexico. Well, times are hard and the wages low, oh hey, Santiano. It's time for us to roll and go, all on the plains of Mexico.
That's, who knew sea shanties were such a, was so, so popular and...
Lawrence and Jean Courtney with Noel Sweeney at their home in Dingle. If you're sitting at home during lockdown and you have an interest in shipping and the sea, you might be happy to hear that there's a huge amount of information freely available on all shipping around Ireland and, in fact, all over the world. Jan Ashmore is ports and shipping correspondent for afloat.ie. He told me where we can access all that information, and first about the Dublin Bay Boy, which has its own Twitter account.
The Dublin Bay Boy, it's in the centre of the bay between Dunleary and Howth, and it's the main buoy in the bay for ships to enter and depart Dublin Port, and it acts like a roundabout. The buoy is fitted with sensors that can give you plenty of information about the weather conditions at the time. A wave sensor, it can measure the height of the wave, the wind speed and the water temperature, and all this information is available on the Twitter account for Irish Lights, or you can look it up on their website. In addition, it's available on the Afloat website under the heading of Dublin Bay. In actual fact, it's one of 10 nationwide, so you don't have to be in Dublin. There are 9 scattered around the coast, and all that information is available on the Irish Lights website, so they give you all the names of the lighthouses as well that also have that facility.
There is quite a lot of information available about Dublin Port, the shipping that comes into Dublin Port. What's there and how do we follow it?
Personally, I've been using a website called marinetraffic.com, but there are others as well, but I've just found that to be the most user-friendly. And so you can just log in, marine traffic will come up there, and basically it allows you to follow shipping traffic and leisure craft as well. And it's very user-friendly because it's color-coded the ships, so you'd have navy blue for ferries, green for cargo ships, and red would be for tankers.
All of that information is freely available, yeah. Just log on.
Yes, it is. It's very easy to do. So now some of the websites you can log on for more in-depth details, but the main thing is you can get the primary information about the vessels going in and out of different ports. So it's even if you're not into shipping, you know, it's just a great introduction, especially in this time of lockdown.
You've been looking at the ships that have been coming in recently, and one of the first things I wanted to ask you, often when you look out to Dublin Bay, you see all ships anchored out there. What are they up to?
Because Dublin Port is the main port for Ireland, shipping ships have allocated berths, so they're not necessarily able to go into port at the required time. So prior to their arrival, they may be requested to anchor in Dublin Bay. So particularly the main area where ships anchor are just off Dunleary on the south side of the bay.
Is that because they arrive too early and it's cheaper for them to anchor out there, or what?
Ships may arrive early or late depending on the weather conditions. It may be down to also the availability of space in the port. And also because we've had very bad weather with Storm Darcy, that's had a disruptive effect on shipping. So that is another factor that has to be taken into account. In fact, the port which has the jurisdiction for pilotage and anchorage in the bay, they actually had to stop ships anchoring in the bay because they felt it was untenable, because when it gets to such bad weather with gale force winds and very strong easterly winds, Dublin Bay is particularly exposed. So that's why some people may have seen or become aware of ships that had to go further out offshore in order for space and safety purposes. In fact, some of them would have gone down to off Killiney Bay. And also I noticed on the marine traffic website, one or two of them had to go over to the other side of the RC to gain some shelter. So they would have anchored off Anglesey.
For Afloat magazine, follow the ships that are coming in and out of here. What has been coming in recently that you've been looking at?
Well, it's actually been quite an interesting week. Rather than this year, bread and butter container ships, we've had a heavy lift cargo ship that arrived into Dunleary. Now, the ship wasn't actually scheduled to go into Dublin Port as most people expected, but it was collecting a part project cargo in Dunleary. It was just a small amount, and it was easy for the ship to go into Dunleary where there was less traffic disruption. The ship was going over to the port of Houston in Texas, where some listeners may have known that there's been some very bad weather over in that part of the world. So it's quite ironic that on either side of the pond we've had some really adverse weather conditions.
Yeah. What other kind of things have been coming into Dublin recently?
This time of the year, the ferry industry, it's the quietest time of the year, and obviously with Brexit as well and COVID. But the ships have to go in on a regular routine basis for dry docking. So Irish Ferries, for example, they chartered in a ferry from the Mediterranean, which is a most unusual step to take. Otherwise, they would normally have ships available from other operators in Northern Europe. So this particular ship, if you're on the coastline and you're privileged to be able to see the sea, it's very distinctive. It's got a yellow hull on it, so you can see it leaving Dublin Bay late morning, I think it is, and then it comes back later on in the day. And then, of course, on marine traffic, that same ship, it's called the Mega Express 4. So if you look up on the web tracking website, it will be under a blue colour. That is under the marine traffic website. Some of the main ports have on their own individual websites a vessel expectancy list, which is very handy as well. So, you know, you can track ships well in advance. And just for a bit of fun, say you saw a ship, you just liked the name of it. Well, you could look at it today and then, you know, 5 days later, you could type in the name of the ship and who knows where it might be. So it's a bit of fun.
Jan Ashmore from afloat.ie. The America's Cup is ongoing in Auckland, New Zealand at the moment, as we've been reporting here for the last couple of weeks. Irish publisher and broadcaster Oliver Lee lives in Auckland. He's been keeping a keen eye on events and speaking to people involved. He spoke to me from Auckland earlier.
Well, it's been fantastic for the last few weeks, but then Auckland had 3 cases of COVID in the community discovered last weekend. So the city went into a lockdown, a full lockdown, for 3 days. So we full lockdown here is level 4. So people were encouraged to work from home, restaurants, bars, everything closed, and schools closed. But on late Wednesday night, it looks like the tracing system has worked well, and things have gone back to semi-normality at level 2. But level 2 means you can't have more than 100 people together and you have to have social distancing. But of course, this weekend, we had the continuation of the Prada Cup to decide who takes on Team New Zealand in the final. And there'd be thousands on the viaduct in the middle of Auckland if they were able to gather. But unfortunately, with limitations of 100 people, there'll be no big excitement down there, because Prada from Italy, yeah, they basically have a say on when the races have to be run, and the races all had to be finished by the end of next week. And of course, they're leading 4-0 at the moment, and it's the 1-7 over INEOS Team New Zealand, or INEOS Team UK. And they feel, with light winds forecast for the next 4 days, this is their chance to, you know, get to the magical number of 7.
And the Italians, they've already put page to the US challenge.
They have, and that was spectacular. Not sure if your listeners have watched it on the YouTube channel, which is unbelievable. But the US challenge was led by a former helmsman from Team New Zealand, Dean Barker, who grew up just here on the North Shore in Auckland. And, you know, and everybody expected that the American team out of the New York Yacht Club would have been the challenger for Team New Zealand. And they started well in the pre-America's Cup competition before Christmas. But then things went hayward for them in the Prada Cup. And the boat capsized and almost sank. So it's the Italian challenge, Lunarossa against INEOS Team UK, fighting it out to take on Team New Zealand in the final.
It's kind of surprising that Team UK are 4-0 down, because they've got Ben Ainslie, possibly the best kind of sailor at this level in the world.
Exactly, and everybody thought that Team UK were the team that, when America were out, would probably come through. But Lunarossa have a very experienced helmsman as well, Jimmy Spittle, an Australian, and he's been involved in the America's Cups now for over 20 years and has been on the winning team with the US Oracle team. You know, everybody thought Ainslie, and they started badly in the pre-Christmas event, but they were doing very well in the opening rounds. But their boat doesn't seem to go very well in light winds, and we've got light winds and plenty of sunshine predicted here for the next 4 or 5 days. So I suppose with Lunarossa leading 4-0 at the moment, they'll probably be hoping that tomorrow — there's 2 races scheduled for tomorrow if there's wind here, there's not a lot of wind promised, 2 on Sunday, and if Lunarossa win 3 of them scheduled races, they'll get ready to challenge Team New Zealand in the America's Cup runoff in early March.
Auckland Harbour, if anybody's been lucky enough to be there, it's a huge bay, hundreds of thousands of yachts there. Are you able to watch events from the shore, or are they too far off?
Very much so. And that was part of the, you know, the way that the New Zealand Challenge had this, and the government in New Zealand and the Auckland Council put in between them the best part of $250 million to develop the viaduct and the inner harbour. It was spectacular. You could watch it from Takapuna Beach or North Head, or other parts around the city. The graphics on TV and on the YouTube channel are unbelievable. And, you know, you get that feeling that you're there watching these. I've seen these boats. I've been walking along Takapuna Beach, like they're up on like stilts, and they travel. Like when Dean Barker's boat capsized, they were heading to 50 knots, nearly 100 k's. you know, with that particular day. Even the chase boats cannot keep up with him when there's a good strong breeze. So, you know, and I was talking to the head of Louis Vuitton here a few weeks ago, Bruno Trubly. He's been involved with America's Cup racing for a long time. And he said there'll be no way that America's Cup boats will ever go back to anything like it was in the past. This is the future. And, you know, so I don't know what will happen when the next America's Cup comes around.
Yeah, because even when the US entry crashed out that time, it actually left the water, took off, essentially.
It did. And these boats, they're not that light, 6.5 ton. And it literally was out of the water. And, you know, but the actual height of it with sails is about 26 meters. So it's spectacular to see. Of course, New Zealand's entry, Emirates Team New Zealand, it's funded by about 100 sponsors. The government gives them money, whereas the American entry and the Italian entry and INEOS entries are all funded by wealthy individuals.
It could be a phenomenal money spinner because the amounts of money that the teams have spent, probably at least $100 million each.
Well, they're talking about 150 million US dollars, and the sailors are on big, big money. And these guys, they're professional sailors. There isn't an awful lot in the actual sailing team, but Team New Zealand in designers and boat builders and everything, there's a team of about 150. So you can see where the money goes in keeping these people employed, and many of them do make really, really good money.
What's the atmosphere like? And if it's anywhere in Europe again, is it worth going to this event?
Well, just to see these boats in action, to see the speeds is unbelievable. And but it is the whole. We're in the middle of summer down here. The weather has been really good, and you know, people were really out enjoying themselves over the last few weeks. And we know that when Team New Zealand pitched this to the government, the benefit to the economy of having the America's Cup here was well in excess of over $1 billion, because people were going to come in some of these very expensive boats. Part of the reason that they're allowed to come in here, they do refits, and the marine industry is a very lucrative industry here. It's the New Zealand are some of the best boat builders and engineers. So there was going to be in excess of 100 super yachts coming down here, going to be here for the summer, but only about 40 got in. If we win it, defend it in a few weeks' time, it may not be here again. So if it's going to be in some part of Europe, Monaco or some other country, if your listeners get a chance to go and see these boats in actions, I would certainly, recommend that they do that.
Oliver, you do a radio program, you said, from Auckland. Can we listen to that?
You can. It's on up on online there. It's called Ireland Calling, if people Google it. And I have to say hello to two great friends that love their sailing, Jim Fahey and Tom McSweeney, who I used to link up with for many years on the programme. I started the programme in 1990, and I'm going over 30 years, and I broadcast, linked up with RTE for over 20 years to rebroadcast the All-Ireland Hurling and Football Finals down here. So if you're ever down here at Fergal for the big yacht race, you can be my guest.
We can only live in hope. Thanks to Oliver Lee in Auckland. And all the America's Cup races and analysis are free to watch on YouTube. Now, we started tonight with sea shanties, and I think we should finish with one. Anyone who's ever watched the Russell Crowe movie, Master and Commander, would have seen the crew sing this song. It's called Don't Forget Your Old Shipmates. It's sung here by Jerry Bryant and the Starboard Mess. It says, long we tossed on the rolling main, now we're safe at home, Jack.
Safe and sound at home again, let the waters roar, Jack. Safe and sound at home again, let the waters roar, Jack. Long we've tossed on the rolling main, now we're safe ashore, Jack.